My guest at this time is Frank Donatelli. He served as political director in the Reagan administration. He is now a partner in the Washington office of McGuire Wood Consulting. Today we want to get his thoughts and insights, really, into what is involved in a presidential transition. All of the media attention, of course, in addition to some of the controversial statements being made by Donald Trump, is who will fill his cabinet. But there's a whole lot more that goes into the process than that. And Frank, it's always good to have you with us.
Thanks, Greg. Good to be with you.
The transition period lasts about 10 weeks, and we're about 3 weeks into it now. And we've got a few cabinet nominees named, some of the biggest ones still to come, like Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense and so forth. But in addition to making these high-profile nominations, what are the major priorities of an incoming administration?
Well, there are several. First, as you point out, there needs to be a lot of focus on people to staff the new administration. When somebody runs for president, chances are they have a small coterie of advisors around them. And, of course, once you become president, you need a lot more people than that. So they quickly have to expand the circle pretty rapidly. In the end, the president gets over 4,000 appointments in the executive branch. It sounds like a lot until you consider that there's over a million civilians that work in the federal government. So it's a relatively small number. But still, to fill all the cabinet spots and other important positions in the regulatory agencies and in the White House and the deputy secretaries and the assistant secretaries, that takes a lot of time. The second thing is trying to get the president and the new administration up to speed on policy. Obviously, when he takes office on day one, you want to be able to hit the ground running. And so the president needs to be broadly familiar with the issues that are going to be hitting his desk immediately. Budget issues, economic issues, obviously foreign policy issues, foreign policy briefings. And so the idea is that when the president takes office on January 20th, that he can literally step into his desk that first morning and begin to function as commander-in-chief and handle all the duties of the presidency. So you need a lot of people to prepare those options for him and to get him that information so that he can make those decisions. And I might also say this, this goes for cabinet members also. So when the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Transportation, they won't be confirmed the day the president takes office, but they'll be in their offices. They will have been nominated. They'll also be up to speed on the issues that they have to face.
Let me follow up on a couple of the major points you just made. First of all, with the 4,000 political appointees, how many of those will the president actually deal with? He officially, of course, makes the nominations, but when you get further down on the chart, is he basically rubber stamping names that people who already advise him are putting in front of him?
Well, the president will give some direction as to the kinds of people he wants. So generally, the Office of Presidential Personnel in the White House, who's responsible for filling out the bureaucracy, will take into consideration campaign workers and keep members of the Republican Party and fundraisers of the president and, oh, by the way, people that actually have some expertise in the job. So it's kind of a combination. The best nominees are obviously loyal Republicans that also know what they're doing in that particular job. And that is delegated to the Office of Presidential Personnel. Normally, the president will get involved in what they call Senate confirm appointments. So any position that is cabinet level, deputy secretary or assistant secretary, generally in the bureaucracy, those are required Senate confirmation. And the president will have some involvement at that level.
We've heard a lot, Frank, from 8 years ago about how much of a priority the outgoing Bush administration put on getting the Obama administration ready to roll on day one. And President Obama has said that's his goal going forward as well. What's the role of the outgoing administration in getting the incoming administration up to speed?
Well, I guess no surprises, to try to keep them informed of all developments with an eye toward things that won't be done by the time the new president takes office, and that there'll be a decision there that the president is going to have to deal with. That's the first thing. And I think just generally information, the new chief of staff and the new White House staff will be having questions. Obviously, they're coming into new positions, and they'll have numerous questions for the outgoing chief of staff, the outgoing deputy chief of staff, or whatever. And they'll provide the information that they can to answer those questions. The new president will probably have a different staffing structure than the outgoing administration, but there'll be things of overlap too. So answering questions, I think, and providing information is also important.
What is the information avalanche like when you're getting all these briefings on all these issues, being kept up to speed, trying to figure out who you want in these key positions in your administration? You had a fairly close-up seat as President Reagan did this in 1980, and he was certainly well-versed on the issues coming in as much as pretty much any nominee in recent times. So how much of a learning curve is it even for those who have studied these issues for years and potentially for Donald Trump, who, while observing the news, has not been an active political figure all that long?
Well, it's a big curve. I mean, there is no comparison. Some people say it's a lot more fun to run to be president than it is actually being president, because you've got a lot of decisions to make. And it's true that I think only a past president can understand the burdens that a new president is going to take on. So even the best prepared require a lot of briefings and a lot of information to be brought up to speed on all the things that they're responsible for. I think another important thing is if you have people around you that understand the president-elect, so you know what the president-elect is most interested in and what he's not interested in, and the stuff that he's not interested in that he doesn't really have to know that much about, that's delegated elsewhere. And you can help brief the president on the most important things that are of interest to the president. I think in this case, Reince Priebus has not worked for Donald Trump before, nor Steve Bannon was on his campaign, but it was only for a short period of time. So I think there is going to be a feeling out process here so that the White House staff knows how this president operates, what he wants to know, what he doesn't need to know, how he functions, et cetera, et cetera.
Frank, you got the benefit of about 35 years of hindsight now. How well prepared do you think the Reagan administration was January 20th, 1981? Obviously, there were some monkey wrenches thrown at them pretty early, from the release of the hostages moments after the inauguration to an assassination attempt less than 3 months later. But overall, how well do you think they were ready for day one?
Well, lots of challenges, to be sure. But I think Reagan benefited for a couple of things. Number one, two of his principal aides, Ed Meese and Mike Deaver, were longtime Reagan aides, and they understood the man. And so they were able to know the things that he wanted, that he was most interested in, and how he absorbed information and all that. So there was not a they had a pretty good working relationship, and that was pretty seamless. And then he was also lucky to have someone like Jim Baker, who, while he hadn't worked with him for a long period of time, was very well versed in the ways of Washington. And so it was pretty seamless. Somebody that was thought to be an outsider and not well known in the ways of Washington, I think hit the ground running pretty well, putting out a very robust economic plan and dealing with foreign policy almost from the time that he took office. So history says the results were pretty good.
A lot of folks would agree with that. Frank, as always, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Okay. All right, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Frank Donatelli is a partner in the Washington office of McGuire Wood Consulting. He served as political director in the Reagan administration. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.